Welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie Graven from the Gardener's Workshop. In this recent Clubhouse chat, Lisa interviewed Janice Harris of Harris Flower Farm in southwestern Ontario, Canada. They discussed what it's like growing flowers at her farm in hardiness zone 5B/6A and how it's different from Lisa's farm in zone 7B/8A in Virginia. Janice shares some tips for northern growers, but also offers great general growing advice about how to learn the best practices for your own particular zone and climate wherever you are. There's something in this chat for everyone, so I hope you enjoy.
We've got snow, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, with that, I'm going to get this party started. So welcome, everybody. This is the Flower Farmer Show, and my name is Lisa Mason Ziegler, and so I want to kick this off by first telling y'all how I met Janice. So back in 2016, I met Janice when we were at an ASCFG conference in Michigan. I remember it because we thought that this conference was going to be a real bomb, because little did we know when we planned it years in advance that it was actually went over the election, the presidential election that year. And we just thought that it was going to be a dreadful conference. But in fact, it was sold out and it was a wonderful conference. But during that conference, the ASCFG had never formally had Canadian representation in the organization. And so that at that conference, we voted to make Canada one of the regions of that educational organization. And Janice, right there in the lobby, I can still remember it, Janice, all those people clustered over in the corner of this big hotel lobby, voted Janice, and she was up against a couple of good runners too, if I remember right. Janice was voted the regional director and has held that position now for all these past 6 years. And done an amazing job. So Janice, I mean, and that kicked off our friendship, I think. That's when we became really great friends sitting on that board together, wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely. And like, I think of sharing breakfast and that with you and having that time together has been awesome to be able to meet other growers and really connect with people all over. So it's great to talk with you again, because I've missed talking with you for the last while. So
I know. And, you know, I think that's one thing that people don't really think about, because they don't have to, that the ASCFG is such a, it is basically an educational organization. And there's a board of directors that are all people like me and Janice, volunteer flower farmers or people in the industry. And sometimes you just have to make time to serve those things. Right, Janice? I know it's especially a challenge for you. You're a mom and a farmer and all these other things. So I just want to say thank you so much for serving for all these years, because I know better than anybody how hard that is. So Janice, tell everybody about your business, who you are, where you are, and what it is that you do.
Yeah. So we are in southwestern Ontario. To kind of get the geography, if you went halfway between Windsor and Toronto, we're right kind of in between the two. And if you were to go straight through the lake from Cleveland, we are straight north of Cleveland through Lake Erie. So we are in southern Ontario, which is like, we're talking northern, but I mean, we are still definitely in a northern area. Our zone is usually like 6A, 5B, but we do have warm years, and today it's snowing, so it's wonderful that we have that. And like with our business, my husband and I have the business. My husband does work off the farm, so I'm full-time on the farm, and I do have, this year, we will have a total of 7 employees between part-time and full-time. But my husband, when he's home from work, he helps in the evenings and that. My parents have had vegetables and organic vegetables forever, and they are kind of semi-retiring from that. And mom is really active in a lot of my seed starting and all of the greenhouse kind of early seeds seeding. She does a lot of that. So we do work together between my farm and their farm. Our farm is 10 acres, and my parents have a total of 100 acres for their farm, but we do grow a couple acres over there at their farm. They're just one road, concession road from each other. So it's really good that work together and also share equipment, because a lot of vegetable equipment translates over to flower equipment. So that really works well together. So that's a bit about our farm. In the field, we grow right in the field. And then we also have a total of 5 high tunnels, unheated high tunnels. And last year we built a 30 by 96 heated greenhouse. So this is our first year with winter growing, which was definitely a learning curve and figuring out that. But it's been awesome growing as well in the heated space.
So your parents were farmers when you grew up. I mean, that was their livelihood, right?
Yeah, the two of them were full-time vegetable farmers.
Yeah, because we don't hear about that very often. You know what I mean? It's like you hear from people, not very often for that either, but it's like, oh yeah, we were soybean or, you know, corn growers for 1,000 acres, but your folks literally grew vegetables and that was the livelihood for your family. So I think that I think that's super cool, Janice. I know it might not have been so cool when you were growing up and having to work, but.
Right. Because I did go away to school too. I had a career before flower farming. I was actually an optician. I went to school and worked as an optician in an optometrist office and did that for many years before I quit my off-farm job 3 years ago to be full-time flower farming. But it's like the third weekend in May, I think, is usually when we do. But it's really hard to see everybody else planting and doing stuff. But I do definitely push the limits on things. And try, because like it's only going to kick yourself either way if you put it out and it gets frosted or you put it out and it has a jump on it. So it's really trusting and trying things, pushing it a little bit, but then having a backup of like row cover or different, like putting a tunnel on or something if we are going to get like a freak weird cold day. Like today is a freaky weird just above freezing day, whereas tomorrow is going to be like 17, which I can't remember what that is to switch it over. I think it's like in the 40s. I don't know. So it's going to be warm tomorrow. So,
right.
And then Friday and Saturday, it's going to be warm. And then it's just a weird, freaky day today. So with that, we would just, if I had something out, then I would just cover it for the one day and then be away and going again. So yeah, I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah. And, you know, something that also that I think perhaps particularly people new to planting when you're not really supposed to, right? Mm-hmm. There's things you have to have available. Like you just said, you got to have row cover if you're going to do that. And the other thing is that I try to practice myself, even when I'm pushing the limits down here, planting early before I should. I don't plant the whole farm. I just plant some, right?
Right, exactly. Like, don't plant everything, just plant some of it, and that might work out really well. It might also get frozen. But also, like, just thinking, too, like, there are things that can handle it and that are tougher than you think that they are. Because a lot of things we think, oh, we can't do that, they're not going to be okay. But really, like, there's a lot of stuff that is tough and can handle that little dip.
Right, and to strategically, you know, I understand when people aren't in the know yet and they're just experimenting, but as you get wiser, basically wiser to me is just that means you've made a lot of mistakes and tried to figure it out, right?
Totally.
That there's certain things that you would play. Like, for instance, I would never push the envelope on basil. It just gets damaged so easily. However, we've learned that sunflowers can really take some cold temperatures, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, you just have to make an educated guess. So if I had to ask you, like, what would you say the big difference is between growing in a colder climate than it is? I guess, I mean, you might not know about growing in the South. You know, it's just, what are the challenges that you feel like you face, perhaps, where it's just colder longer? You have to delay planting.
Yeah. I would say probably any challenges that would be in the South. Like, you guys have the different challenge of not being able to have it cold enough that your tulips chill long enough. And like, I don't have to worry about that. And like, so there's things everywhere that is just challenge. Like even people in warmer than you who can't grow peonies because it doesn't get cold enough. So I think just like everybody has their challenges in different spots and we just can't be out on the ground as soon and to have that kind of downtime too.
Isn't that the truth? You know, folks, I hear people sometimes talking about wanting to push the envelope. And I mean, I totally get wanting to start early to have sales to hit the spring market, you know, the highest demand of the year. But I'm right there with you. I do not want to be cutting flowers in December and January and February.
Right. Right. And I mean, even with our new greenhouse, where I don't want to have flowers blooming at that time. Like, if I can get flowers blooming by the 1st of March, that's great. But I don't want to be picking flowers in January.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know what? I want to point out something that you just mentioned. It's like each one of our, every person's area of where they farm or garden has benefits and challenges. And to cultivate the benefits and to make the most out of those is the fastest, quickest, least expensive way to do everything, right?
Totally. Like, don't try, like, I know, like, people get excited about tulips and think that they have to grow tulips, but if they're in somewhere warm, you're going to lose your shirt if they don't, like, get tall enough. So don't try pushing that. Grow what is going to work in your area. Just like me, for years, I rotted ranunculus. I probably 3 years, I rotted them and I was like, what am I going to do? Like, every year I try and start them and they don't work. They go rotten. So I remember talking to Dave, and I think it was at one of my first ASCFG ones. And I said to him, like, it was mid-February is usually when we have the board meetings. And I said, like, Dave, I can't rot ranunculus again this year. What am I doing wrong? And he said that, like, start them when you're coming to the ASCFG thing, because it's the right timing, and then forget about them and don't touch them. And I was babying them too much, and I was thinking about them and checking on them too much. And he said, just leave them alone. Don't mess with them. And then just understanding how the ranunculus work. And now, like, I know how to do it, and I know how to do it for my zone. But I was looking at other people in the industry saying, we plant them in the fall, this is what we do, or we start them in this other time, but they're in a totally different growing zone than I am. And I have to then remember where I am and how I need to grow, not just because that's how somebody's telling me that you have to grow them.
You know what? I think we could just end it right now after you just said that. I mean, is that not, I mean, those of us that are teaching people, as I know that you teach classes, you do workshops, you speak at conferences, we can all say it over and over and over again. People always want to know the down and dirty details of exactly how we do something. Right. But in fact, you know, as soon as it heats up, they shut down, right. You know? Anyway, so, okay. So what are some of the tips that you might have for someone that is growing in the colder climates? Just some general tips, things like, I bet you probably might want to plant a little bit bigger transplant than what I plant down here because I have such a long, warm season growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, biggest thing is plan for the normal. So plan, like, what it is normally going to be for the temperature, but expect the exception. So expect that you might have a late frost in June and have to have row cover to cover the peonies, or have an early frost in September and have to have something be out there at 9 o'clock at night putting, like, humongous tarps of row cover covering the dahlias so that they don't freeze in September. So just planning for what it is normally in the area, but then have those exceptions. But also to remember, and, like, I'm lucky because I come from a farming family, and, like, vegetables do translate a little bit, but even going back to my great grandma, which I wish she was still around because she was such a cool lady, and I was young. I think I was about 10 or 11 when she passed, so I don't remember a lot of her as I was older, but I hear stories, and she would always say that when you can go out and plant in the garden, when you can go out, pull your pants down and sit in the ground and it's not too cold on your bum, that's when you can go and put out warm season.
I will never forget that.
I'm just glad I haven't done that. I live on a really busy road, so it probably would not be a good idea. That's what she always said, is that that's when you would do it. And there's also, like, I've seen different pictures saying that, like, taking the cues from nature, like, when the lilacs bloom, you plant this. When the daffodils are blooming, you plant this. So just going by nature, and it's not going to change drastically, but, like, you'll see different times. Like, if the the peonies are blooming. They're probably going to bloom in our area like mid-June, like early to mid-June. But knowing that when the peonies are blooming, then it's warm enough to be able to do this. And so just looking at history, talking to people, join like your local horticulture society. Those people, like, I think I like single-handedly bring down the average age of our horticulture society, but they know so much and they want to tell you everything and they want to talk about their gardens. They want to tell you all the things that they know. So there's a meeting tonight that I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get away to go to, but just like hearing from them and hearing their stories and knowing what they've gone through, because flowers and plants have been around before social media. They were there and they're growing before we had to look up on I love listening to you, but what does Lisa say we have to do for this? Well, zinnias have been growing, or this has been growing for so long. What do we need to know and how they grow and what's going to happen? So yeah, I mean, plants want to grow. So we have to just like do what they want so that they'll grow.
It's true. It is so true. And I totally agree with you. I mean, going to those types of meetings, you're not going to, first off, if you talk too much when you're there, they'll have you up there talking.
Yeah, you know? They have.
Yes. But that's a lot of the times where you can get some of those nuggets of information. Some of these, and I am one of these little old ladies now. Yeah. It's like they'll say, oh no, honey, that's not how you do it. This is what I've done for the past 50 years. So that is really great advice. So Janice, tell us how you sell, what you do, how you sell your flowers. I think people would be really interested in knowing that.
Sure. Well, we sell a lot of flowers and we sell them a lot of places. So hopefully I don't miss anywhere on the list, but we started out at our local farmer's market. It was the mom and dad were going with vegetables. And the first year I started, mom suggested I grow gladiolus. So I planted those, and that's what we started out with, was gladiolus. So we sold them at the farmer's market. We still go to that farmer's market. So I think it's our 13th year there. And then we do another farmer's market that my husband goes to. So we do two Saturday morning farmer's markets. Since COVID, we opened up a flower cart and our flower stand on Saturday mornings at our farm as well. So we have three places we're selling on Saturday mornings. Then through the week, again, thank you to COVID, we have totally opened up our website so that it is basically like a flower shop. We are getting orders all the time, and I have a full-time delivery girl that does all the deliveries. So even today, like in Canada, it's administrative professional day. So we had one office ordered 26 mason jar arrangements to go to all their staff. So we do through our website, and we have orders from people all over the world that are ordering to send to family in this area. So that's really cool. Where else do we sell? So we also do a subscription, a very sought after and desirable subscription. We ended up doubling our number of subscriptions this year, because last year we just couldn't, people were so upset that we were sold out so quick on them. So we have 183 bouquet subscriptions that will start next week. And those are once a month from May to September. And those are all delivered as well, delivered or pickup. So we do our bouquet subscriptions. We sell to a few florists in the area, not too many, but there's a couple that we definitely do sell to. And we do a lot of weddings as well. So I think on the books we have like over 60 weddings coming up this season. So it's going to be a busy, busy wedding season too. So I think that's all the places. Oh, so, we do some wholesale bouquets too, to a couple little grocery stores in the area too.
So what do you do with all your spare time?
Yeah, I know. And three kids, three little kids. And yeah.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted, Janice.
Yeah, they're not as little anymore. They're getting bigger now, so that's good. They're helping out a bit more. But the oldest is going to be 12, so.
I am so very, very proud of you. And I watched you go through, you know, you had just ramped your business up with the farmer florist thing going on when COVID came. And, you know, you were one of the ones that just hit the ground running. You know, I've grown to hate that word pivot,
yeah,
but You did. You totally flipped your business, and it's bigger now than it's ever been. Would that totally. Be a good? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, I mean, people were, I personally was so worried that when COVID was first happening, I thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But I mean, we've had record years since, and yeah, it's awesome.
So Janice, when did you start
like growing?
Selling. Yeah. I'm sorry. Start yeah. growing and selling.
Yeah. I think this is year 14 for us, that we've been farming, but I mean, the first few years, I did the flower farming after my day job and during our maternity leave. So, I mean, they were not full-time then, but in the last, I would say, 3 years, it's been full-time farming for me, and I would say probably 5 years, it's been pretty much full-time.
So, Janice, do you want to yeah. tell everybody about the tour?
Yeah, I'm so excited to have that this summer. Because this is my last year as a regional director, they go in 3 year terms. And so I've done 2 terms now. So it's time for me to pass on the baton. And so I was really excited when we started with the board doing more farm tours and inviting people to come to smaller conferences, not having the big, huge conferences, just having a farm tour. So I've really structured it like a full day of learning here. Like, we're going to talk about everything, and there's nothing that's really going to be not allowed or anything. Like, you can ask anything. We're going to talk about growing in the field. I'm going to have all of our equipment out so you can see what we use for the tractors, and then also hand tools. We're going to talk about growing in the tunnels and in the greenhouse. Oh, and then in the afternoon, we're planning to do like a market bouquet, like showing how we can pump out bouquets really fast, because when we have like 3 markets, we need to be making bouquets really fast. So showing how we our bouquet making process. And then we're going to also, everyone can bring clippers and a bucket, and we're going to make a vase arrangement for people to take home. I think people always get afraid of like, oh, I don't know how to arrange it, or I don't know how to do that. But really, it's just practice, just trying it and seeing how to do it and arranging it. So it's going to be, yeah, lots of fun. We're going to have a catered lunch, and we're doing a sunflower maze again. We haven't done that in a couple of years, but we have it's probably about a 1/2 acre. We're going to plant just the sunflowers, and that should be blooming in full bloom at that time of the conference, so, or the farm tour. So excited to show off that too.
All right. Wanda came up. Hi, Wanda.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you? We can hear you loud and clear. Did you have a question or a comment?
I have a question for Janice. Yes. So for everybody out there, I'm in Alaska, and we're zone 3. And my question, Janice, is that, you know, if I want flowers in June, I have to start like Rudbeckia in February. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the longer growing ones. And I do use the small soil blocks, but I have discovered that you cannot keep plants in soil blocks for more than like a month, or right. the plants actually get stunted. Yep. So I have, you know, like Lisa doesn't have to bump things up, but I feel like a lot of us in the northern climates, we do need to bump things up. Otherwise, you can't keep something in a soil block for 2 or 3 months.
Totally.
So
agree.
Do yeah. you, what do you bump things up into larger containers? If so, what do you use, or how do you yeah. go about doing that?
Yeah, so we do both soil block. We do a little bit of soil blocking, and for certain things, there's only some things that we will do in soil blocks. And a lot of the time, and actually, I don't plant anything from soil block into the field. Everything from soil blocks go into another tray. So they either go into a 72 tray or a 98 tray or a 128, depending on what it is. Like Lysianthus, we start in soil blocks, and then they get bumped up to a 72 because they're a really long growing time. But yeah, we don't, I think it's really cool how Lisa is able to go right from soil block to the field, but we definitely don't do that. Everything gets bumped up into a bigger cell for that time that it needs to.
Great. Yeah, I think that's good information to get out there, because I see people trying to follow Lisa who live in northern climates, you know, mm-hmm. and you just cannot leave things in soil blocks for months.
Right.
So it's good to get it out there that some of us do need to bump things up if yeah. you're growing them for a long time. So thank yeah. you, Jen.
And definitely even like the Lisianthus too, like when I do get some plugs in and they come in like 288s, and we'll bump those up too. Just because things can't stay in those small little cells for a really long time. We bump all that up as well.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Do you have a question? Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, first off, thank you to all of you for all of this information. I'm in New Brunswick, and Janice, I'm wondering, do you succession plant any of cool flowers? And also, what flower has surprised you to grow in the north?
Yeah, so you said succession planting of cool flowers?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We succession plant. So that's where some of like adapting the cool flower method. So we think of Lisa's cool flower way and then we adapt it to our area. So usually in like mid-February or so, there'll be like a nice, really kind of mild day. And it's really weird that all that temperature fluctuation. And at that point, we'll go out and we'll just like scratch in some of like Nigella and Bells of Ireland and Bachelor Buttons and those kind of things and scratch them into the ground. And once the snow is melted, it's that one day of really warm, put them in and then they'll come up as they are supposed to, when they're supposed to. So we succession plant, though that's one of our successions. And then also another succession is we will start in some inside, so seeding of some Nigellas and Bells of Ireland and different things like that to have some going that way. So that's another succession. And then like once now this time of year when we can work the soil and plant more, then we'll put in another succession of all of those things again, Bells of Ireland, Nigella, Bachelor Buttons, all of those cool kind of things. And we'll do that probably another 2 weeks or so until it's right around our last frost date. And then we'll stop doing successions of that for the year. And then we have had cool flowers over winter in our zone too. Last year we had Larkspur and Bachelor Buttons do the whole like Lisa's cool flower method, which was really cool to see that happen.
It's just so good to hear about other people's experiences and how they apply things. And so Janice, tell us, let's finish this off. When is the tour and how is it only open to ASCFG members? And how do they sign up for that? Follow the link, I would guess.
Yeah, so it is only ASCFG members. We just made a decision to do it that way. So you do have to be an ASCFG member to come to the tour. The date is August the 15th, which we should be totally in bloom. And like, I think that's kind of what I was excited to show people, like a flower farm that is like thriving and working. And I mean, knock on wood here, hopefully we don't have any kind of total like crop failure this year, but just seeing what a busy flower farm is and what it's like, because I think so many people are always in awe of, oh, you have 5 acres of growing, what does that look like? And it's really like it's just a working farm and it is attainable. But anyways, it's just showing how a working farm can do, and a flower farm can be the main income for your family and other families, because I have 7 people that I employ.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I just want to say to you, you know what, even if you have a total disaster of something, then people get to see firsthand how you react and handle that. You know what I mean? It's like any situation will make it a really great tour. And so thank you so much, Janice, for coming and kind of telling us how it kind of goes for the northern folk. It's been such a pleasure to hear your voice and to talk to you again.
Yes, so good to talk to you. And hopefully we can see each other again soon, hopefully.
I hope so, too. Jesse, do you have anything else?
I think so. I wanted to just mention to everybody that we do have a private Facebook group called the Flower Farmer Show, which is named after this weekly chat that we do. It is for folks that are flower farmers or are, you know, working towards becoming one. And, if you go over there, we oftentimes continue conversations that we start over here, over on that Facebook group. So if you think of some other questions or, you know, about northern growing, I invite you to go over there. And it's a nice large size group, but it's very active. So Thank you, Janice, so much for being here with us today. Thank you, Lisa, as always. And I appreciate everyone that was here to listen as well.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. And Jesse, thank you for being our admin here.
Okay, welcome back. If you'd like to listen to the full original chat over on Clubhouse, I'll put a link to Lisa's club in the show notes, along with Harris Farms contact info and some other links that were mentioned in the chat. And if you like what you're hearing here on the Field and Garden podcast, we'd love it if you'd tell a friend about us and leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jesse Graven from the Gardener's Workshop, and I hope you have a great day.